The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impact of ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Audio of this and each episode of Bengal Business can be found at kisu.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm Shane Hunt, Dean of the College of Business at Idaho State University, and I'm thrilled to welcome our guest today, Crystal Searle, who is the Chief Financial Officer of Stinker Stores and a proud Idaho State University College of Business alum. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Hello, Shane. Great to be here.
Well, Crystal, we're so thrilled to have you here, and I always like to just start with kind of asking you to tell a little bit about your background, where you're from, what brought you to Idaho State, and, you know, kind of some stuff about your time as a student here.
Great. So I grew up in a farming community in Burley, and there on the farm, we did hard things and we fulfilled responsibilities. I'm grateful for that experience and the work ethic that I developed through that experience. And as a result of that, a lot of the way I view the world is through the lens of what I call the law of the harvest, where you reap what you sow. And that's very fundamental to who I am. If we want potatoes in the fall, we've got to plant those potatoes in the spring.
Absolutely.
And water that desert Idaho ground all summer. And then when it's time to harvest, there's more work involved. So that's a key part of who I am and my background. I decided to attend ISU as a result of the reputation that the accounting program had at the time and still does have. I knew that I wanted to take the CPA exam, and I only wanted to take that exam one time. And ISU seemed like the place that could make that happen for me. And there was a lot of work involved both during my time in school and then the summer after I graduated to make that happen. I'm very grateful to be able to report in that many years ago, that particular harvest for me was fulfilled, and I did pass the exam on the first try.
Well, that's amazing. And we do have such an incredible accounting department. And you see that in the CPA pass rates, the fact that we have the not just the business accreditation, but the separate AACSB accreditation for specifically for our accounting program. It is just one of the best programs in the country.
Another thing I'd mention about my time at ISU made the time particularly meaningful were the great professors and peers that I had, made for just a fantastic educational experience. The professors were engaged in not only teaching content, but were very focused on developing critical thinking and communication skills through that process. And that has been a tremendous impact on my development personally and professionally, and something I'm truly grateful for.
No, Crystal, that's outstanding. Well, and I'll tell you this, of all the guests that we've interviewed on the Bengal Business Radio Show, you work for the company with the best name. So tell me a little bit about tell me a little about Stinker Stores, but then also tell me kind of about your career journey to becoming the chief financial officer for something that you see throughout this part of the country.
So I love telling the Stinker story. It is a unique name. I typically only have to tell someone where I work once. Well, really twice, because you first say Stinker Stores, they say what? You repeat it a second time, and then they remember it forever. So the company was founded in 1936 by a gentleman named Ferris Lind. And that's sometimes where you hear the phrase of Fearless Ferris associated with the company at times. And he started the company in Twin Falls, Idaho. And at that time, it was very unusual to be a C-store operator or a convenience store operator who owned more than one or two stores. And he owned more than that. And eventually expanded out of the Twin Falls area, moved to Boise, which is where he had the business headquarters established before he passed away, but went through a transition to a second generation. And then that generation was in a position to looking to sell the company around 2002. And that's where the Jones family came into play, who's the current owners of Stinker Stores. Some of the great things that our customers will come into our stores or send information into our customer request email address, they'll talk about great memories of driving down the Idaho highways back in the old days and seeing signs put up by Ferris that say things like petrified watermelons, take one home to your mother-in-law That one's near Craters of the Moon. So this kind of fun spirit that Ferris had is something that we work to try and keep in our current culture at Stinker, even though the ownership has changed to a different family. The other thing I'd say a little bit about Stinker, we are in a time of growth and transition. I've been at Stinker for just about 5 years. When I walked in the doors, we owned 65 stores, and they were all in Idaho. We now own and operate over 100 stores. Wow. In 3 states.
Wow.
So we've expanded into Colorado and Wyoming, and have been doing a lot of construction, particularly over the last 2 years. So it's exciting. We're getting bigger and more complex as a company, with the ultimate goal of making ourselves a better company.
No, that's great. And what kind of got you from your path from ISU? When you left ISU, what was kind of the path to becoming? I think a lot of times students listen to this show and they think, well, okay, I'm an accounting major. What was kind of your path to becoming CFO of a very successful company?
So I started my career journey after ISU at KPMG, one of the big 4 accounting firms,
right.
And worked in their Boise office in the audit practice for about 9 years. And was looking for a change, and came across the Stinker opportunity. It was one that someone actually called me about and said, hey, I know someone who's looking for someone that may have your skill set. Would you be interested in applying? And I said, sure, it is potentially something I maybe may not have looked into if that individual hadn't reached out. So I think that proves you never know where connections
Absolutely.
Are going to come from and where they might lead. So went through the interview process and ended up being a really good fit. So that's been my journey. And the public accounting is a fairly common route out of the accounting program at ISU. And it is certainly something I would recommend to those interested. There are things that I do every single day that I rely on that experience that I had at KPMG in my current role at Stinker.
And what I love about that is, too, is the different paths that open up, right? So I think a lot of times it's a great thing to show how public accounting leads to something else and the different opportunities that helps prepare you for. Stinker, as you mentioned, is a very fast-growing company. You guys have built an incredible brand here in this part of the United States. But like every industry, you guys, I'm sure, have been impacted by COVID-19. And so one of the things, just from a business standpoint, and we talk about being flexible and trying to deal with challenges in any industry, you know, you guys have had to really face, I'm guessing, a lot of different things that none of us ever imagined because of COVID-19 in 2020. Can you talk a little bit about how it's impacting your business and maybe anything that you think might be kind of a permanent change from the way we do things?
I think one of the biggest lessons for everyone on COVID-19 is the world can and did change in an instant, and learning to respond to that. One of the kind of the most dramatic things for us was the reduction in fuel volume. I was looking at a chart a couple days ago showing the volume trends around the spring, and it's a cliff.
Yeah.
that just drops right around mid to late March over a period of about 2 weeks. So as people were staying home and using less fuel, that certainly impacted us. And we then had to put into place in our stores, because our stores are essential businesses, even though people weren't maybe traveling as much, they were still traveling.
Right.
And people are dependent on our services, not only for fuel, but particularly in some of the smaller communities, the resources we offer inside of the stores, the products we sell are important to those communities. And so we needed to keep our stores open, but make them safe for our customers and for our employees. So our operations team had a big job of implementing cleaning procedures and new protocols that we weren't doing in the past to that level. We certainly wanted, you know, clean stores, but this was a different world that we needed to respond to. The other thing that impacted our business that was a little bit delayed and shows that the initial response to COVID had some unintended consequences. Towards the end of June, I received an email that just indicated that, you know, there may be some coin shortages coming across the nation. And in a matter of 24 hours, it was chaos. And we had in front of us a problem we needed to address.
And that's fascinating to me, Crystal, because I think a lot of people probably have heard or maybe seen a sign at a restaurant or a store talking about the coin shortages. But that had to cause havoc for a business like Stinker and the things that you do and being able to serve your customers.
Yes, and particularly unless you're buying a big tank of gas for your vehicle when you fill up, many of the purchases inside the store are relatively small purchases.
Absolutely.
Certainly a lower ring than when you're at the grocery store or if you were at a restaurant. So many people use cash for those transactions. And even some of our customers may not have cards. So we were not sure what was going to happen. Had some meetings, had some plans in place of how we were going to respond. But then we really relied on our customers and really had some amazing experiences with our customers and just realized how supportive and how amazing our customers are. Many of them were willing to pay with a card instead of with cash. And many brought in their own personal big jars of change
I love that.
We bought the change from them, but they knew we were hurting, and they were willing to infuse some of their big change jars to help us out. And it was really incredible, as I would call many of the store managers to get a pulse on how things were going. And it warmed my heart to just hear these stories of, actually, we're doing great. We just had a customer bring in a big jar of coin. That was definitely something I was not expecting to deal with in 2020.
No, Crystal, I can't imagine. But I love your story, and I think it is such a hopeful, optimistic story of people doing what we all can to try and make the best of the challenging circumstances that we're all facing across the industries. I love that story. And the next time I get a candy bar or a Diet Dr. Pepper at a Stinker store, I will remember that story. So I love that. Just to kind of finish up, Crystal, you know, one of the things that I always like to ask, there are students right now in our accounting classes who want to follow a similar career path and provide opportunities for them and their family like what you've been able to do. Do you have any advice for the students today that are listening to this program that are going to school here in the ISU College of Business or any university program?
I think a couple words of advice. So one is to be prepared to work and do hard things. Graduation day is the end of one harvest season, but it's the beginning of another. And so be prepared to do some hard work. No one is going to force you to make your career be great. You can have a job and probably have a good job and go in and do the things that you need to do each day to collect your paycheck whenever that day comes every 2 weeks or every week. But really, if you want a great career, you're going to have to be the one who decides you're going to put in that extra effort to go above and beyond what's asked of you. And that you're not going to just settle for the status quo or just getting by. No one's going to force you to do that. They may encourage you, give you some mentoring, but that's something you're going to have to push for yourself. And I think two ways I recommend that people kind of do that and hopefully feed that flame that's inside of them. One is to be curious and ask why. Asking why leads to lots of learning and opportunities for growth. And the second point would be to get outside of your comfort zone. Do things that challenge you, make you a little bit uncomfortable, because as you push those limits of your comfort zone, what you're comfortable with grows and your skill set and what you can achieve grows. And that's been something I've really tried to focus on in my career and has taken me places that I never thought I'd be in. When I was a student at ISU, I always kind of knew it was possible because I would hear people who were ISU grads talk about the things that they could or that they had done. And that's been kind of the mantra that I've tried to live by, is getting outside of my comfort zone and pushing my limits. And have found that my education at ISU has supported me in being able to do that.
Crystal, that's incredible advice. And thank you for saying that. And as the father of a college student right now, That's exactly the kinds of things that I would want him to hear as he goes forward in his academic career and gets ready for his professional life after that. Crystal, we thank you so much. We thank you for the great work that you're doing as Chief Financial Officer at Stinker Stores. We thank you for all that you are doing to represent the Idaho State University College of Business brand. And we thank you for your willingness to give back and help our current students build a brighter tomorrow. So, Crystal, thank you so much. Have a very happy holiday season, and we look forward to visiting with you in the future. We'll be right back with our second segment with Dr. Daniel Kim to talk about our healthcare administration program here at Idaho State University.
Check out this and every episode of Bengal Business at KISU.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of the Bengal Business Radio Show, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Daniel Kim. Dr. Daniel Kim is an assistant professor and program director for our MHA program here in healthcare administration within the Idaho State University College of Business. Daniel, welcome to the Bengal Business Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Shane. Really excited to be here.
So Daniel, like I, is relatively new to Idaho State. He just joined us this fall of 2020 and is doing a truly incredible job. Daniel, let me ask you a little bit. Tell us a little about your background and the path that you took here at Idaho State University.
Well, I was born in Korea, but I was pretty much raised in the States, and I've been all over the place, starting from New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, California. I got my undergraduate degree from University of Michigan and got my doctorate in health services administration from University of Alabama at Birmingham with an emphasis on strategy. So I still remember vividly, I defended my dissertation in June 30th of this year and started to work as an assistant professor here at Idaho State University's College of Business in August. Like you said, Shane, I had a luxury of starting the same year as you. And I honestly am really enjoying being here in Pocatello. I can still remember very vividly my on-site visit when I was interviewing for the assistant professorship position. I was really impressed with students and their motivation level to learn, and with the faculty who were passionate about teaching, conducting research, but most importantly, just helping a student out. I really couldn't have asked for a better place to start my academic career, and hopefully for me to stay here for a very long time.
Oh, no, Daniel, I think that's so great. And I will tell everybody, it's listen, one, when Daniel said that he finished his doctorate at the University of Alabama, Birmingham in healthcare administration, there is not a better program to get your doctorate from than that in the country. And also, I would just say Daniel has been so amazing in hitting the ground running. You know, obviously moving to a new place and a lot of new things, but what he's doing every day for our program, for our students, and for the community is something, Daniel, we're all very thankful for you. One thing, talking about us having a incredible healthcare administration program in your role in that, what kind of got you into healthcare? What got you into that part or that discipline?
To be honest with you, healthcare was the only field that I grew up knowing. So just to tell you a little bit about my family, Shane, my father is a physician.
Okay.
My uncle is a physician. My cousin is a physician. So
the family business, Daniel, the family business.
Exactly. So whenever our family would get together, I would always hear their experience of being medical school students, healthcare delivery system in Korea, what kind of surgeries that they've conducted that day, so on and so forth. So actually for the longest time, my dream was to become a physician as well.
Right.
So when I was at Michigan, I thought it would be a good experience / resume boost for me to work as a research assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And after sending about, I want to say, 50 to 75 emails to faculties all across the campus, I got exactly one response back from a faculty over at the School of Public Health.
Okay.
And to this day, I really do feel fortunate to get that training under Dr. Jane Benisikal, who is a world-class researcher in the field of nursing home.
Absolutely.
So this experience has really got me interested in fields such as healthcare management and healthcare policy. And when the time came for me to decide which field I wanted to pursue for my graduate degree, I thought, hey, going into healthcare management policy would allow me to have a bigger impact in terms of serving and helping the underserved population. But what's as much fulfilling as serving the underserved population, Shane, I think you would appreciate this, is grooming the future healthcare leaders which I really do think that Idaho State University's HCA and MHA students are eventually going to become. And there are a lot of things, exciting things that are happening within our program. And I know our faculties are very excited about the future direction of our program and what we would be able to provide to our students.
So let's talk about that, Daniel, real quick. So when we say HCA and MHA, just explain to the listeners who may not know. So this is something unique that is not in every business school. We are very fortunate to have it, and I think we have one of the best programs, certainly in the region, if not the country, for that. But just kind of walk through folks through what degree options students have within healthcare administration here at Idaho State.
Sure. So students have two options. HCA, Healthcare Administration Program, is an undergraduate program that students can take. And our master's degree, our graduate degree, is MHA degree, which stands for Master's of Healthcare Administration.
What are some of the, I know we've got a lot of exciting things and a lot of things that you're working on. You guys had a case study competition, a national case study competition, where Daniel and one of our other HCA faculty members, Josh Thompson, had to be at the school like at 4:30 in the morning in order to facilitate it for students. And I said it's just one of those great examples of why we have such amazing professors who care about students. But talk a little bit about the momentum and some of the things we're doing in the HCA program.
So like you said, there are a lot of exciting things that are happening within both HCA and MHA programs. So as two programs that are growing in a very rapid pace,
yes,
a lot of our students, like you said, are beginning to take advantage of national case competitions. So just last month, our undergraduate and graduate students participated in Penn State national case competition. And the feedback that I've been getting from our students it was a really great experience for them. And because we got such a great and positive response back from them, our program is planning on continuing to have students participate in these national case competitions. I think the next one up is the Minnesota. So we're very excited about that. The next exciting event is how our MHA program, our graduate degree program, is getting ready to get accredited through CAMI. So for those that are not familiar with CAMI accreditation, it's very similar to AACSB,
yep,
which signifies a gold standard for graduate healthcare administration programs. It certainly is a rigorous process for a program to get CAMI accredited. I think only about 75 to 80 programs nationwide are CAMI accredited, but our program is on a good path right now, and our hope is to get the accreditation within the next, I want to say, two-year time period.
Oh, that's incredible, Daniel. That's incredible. And so much momentum for the program and so much benefit that provides for our students. So we thank you for that. And I'll tell the listeners, you know, that wouldn't be possible, Daniel, without your leadership and the things you're doing. So we appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Shane. And one last thing that I want to highlight. It's been made public, and as many of us here at College of Business know, Josh Thompson, a clinical assistant professor in our HCA program, and his wife, Amy, recently established an endowed student scholarship. Josh has been really a valuable member of our college and sort of like a big brother figure to me, served me as a first-year assistant professor. And I think many of his students would describe Josh as a faculty who is truly passionate about teaching healthcare, a friend who's willing to help a student out in any way he can. And I think this act of generosity is a great example of how committed he is, not just to our program, to an institution that he personally graduated from. And I think, Shane, if I'm not mistaken, one of the very first acts as a dean for you was establishing an endowed scholarship yourself. And you told me about your personal experience about how important of a role these types of scholarship has had in your academic life. And my personal hope as an assistant professor is for us to be able to create more scholarships like that so our students can receive the best education that they can possibly get here at Idaho State University.
Oh, I couldn't completely agree, Daniel. And we are so thankful for Josh and his wife for their generosity and the scholarship and for what he does every day in the classroom and what you do every day, Daniel. So one of the great things as a dean is on a consistent basis, I will, you know, be walking around the halls or be on the elevator, and I'll see a student and we'll be talking, and I'll always ask them what their favorite class is. And consistently, I hear people, Daniel, mention both you and Josh, and that's a great testament to our healthcare administration program within the College of Business. But before we finish up, I wanted to ask as well, just talk a little bit, you mentioned your dissertation and being at UAB. Talk a little bit about your research interests and some of the areas you're doing work in right now.
So to be honest with you, there are a lot of research topics that I'm interested in pursuing, but my main focus is on health literacy, health disparity and outcomes, and healthcare leadership competencies. So going back to my dissertation was on the topic of health literacy, okay. And more specifically, examining the GI patients' health literacy levels on their health outcomes. And for health outcomes, I specifically looked at patients' length of stay in the hospital, readmission status, and complication status. So for those that are not too familiar with the term health literacy, it essentially is patients' ability to understand health information that are provided to them by their healthcare providers, whether that be nurses, physicians, so on and so forth. What's really interesting about health literacy is how little research is being done on this topic. So, but on the other hand, healthcare quality improvement has been this hot/sexy topic for a very long time. So if you look at the HCAHPS survey, for example, which is a quality survey that captures patients' experience in a hospital, health literacy is one of the measurements that's included in that survey. While it's important for patients to be able to follow instructions that are given to them, it's equally important for physicians to make sure that patients actually understand the information that are given to them. Because we all know medical information can be very difficult to understand sometimes. I know, speaking of myself, whenever I go to a hospital, I always need my wife to be right next to me because I need for her to explain what all these terminologies mean.
Yeah.
So being able to interact with both the patients and healthcare providers have been very interesting. And because I do believe it really is an important aspect that can make a huge impact on healthcare quality improvement, I think that just makes it even more enjoyable for me to conduct research on the topic of health literacy.
No, I think that's such an important topic today, and especially as we go into the future, Daniel. And we so appreciate you. I will tell you, at the core of what makes Idaho State University and the College of Business such a special place are the incredible professors that we have doing incredibly important research, but also making sure that the student experience always comes first. So, Daniel, we feel so lucky to have you here at Idaho State and so proud of the great things that you're doing. And I'm thrilled that you joined us today on the show. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Shane.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Bengal Business Radio Show. And we look forward to visiting with you next time. Have a great day and go Bengals.
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business, related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU FM for Bengal Business.